So, is there a more, like, I like to harp on the Ottawa Senators a lot, right? I've kind of toned it down the last little while, right?
A little bit. They haven't been in the news as much as some other teams.
Yeah, I feel like I've toned it down a little. Is there a more embarrassing organization than the Arizona Coyotes? Like, okay, I get it. You've wanted to make hockey work in the South. I get it. And you've got some success stories. I would say Las Vegas is a success story. I would say Tampa's a success story. I would say Florida is a work in progress, but it's closer than I remember it being. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, I'd say Florida is a bit of a work in, like you say, it's a work in progress, because, like, they were kind of mirror for a long while, but now that they're good, it took a lot more attention, a lot more spotlight on these guys.
It was never as bad as Arizona was. You know what I mean? How many times have they had ownership issues? Remember, this is the same team that Jim Bosilli tried to buy. Was it them or was it the Predators? No, it was them. Yeah. It was Boots DiBaggio that wanted to buy the Predators. And that was what? 10, 15 years ago that he wanted to buy a team? And, okay, like, how do you still have these type of problems? Like, I know, okay, we're kind of beating it to death a little bit, but, like, come on. Like, it doesn't count when you're like, hey, we got a full stadium, full arena in tonight, when it's only 5,000 people. You know what I mean? Like, if you look by capacity, and, like, this is before you retrofit it with, like, NHL-level locker rooms, you know? More concession stands, you know what I mean? Like, to make it, in, you know, put in, like, a nice, fancy, like, scoreboard, whatever you want to put in, a DJ booth, all that stuff, right? That, so it's going to be less. At 5,000, like, let's say even at 5,000, you are really pushing it, I feel like, right? That's still a lot lower than any NHL arena. Like, it's not even close. The smallest arena, I believe, is actually the Jets arena. I think it is. And they're at, like, 16,000. Right? That is more than triple. How do you not make this, like, a joke to me? This is a joke to me at that point. When you're at 5,000. I'm sorry, that's kind of embarrassing, right? Okay, like, their new arena is 16,000. The one that they have to figure and build and deal with. And I'm pretty sure it's 16,000. It's still one of the smallest arenas. But, you know, I'll give you that. You know what I mean? Like, fine. The Jets are 15,321. The Coyotes new one of 18,000. And 15,321 is the smallest arena. When you're triple the size of the next smallest arena, it's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? Like, it just tells me that, like, it's not really well managed. Remember, this is the same team. Let me finish this here. Sorry. This is the same team that two freaking months ago, forgot to pay their freaking taxes. I'm sorry to cut you off there, Jeffrey, but where are you going with this?
I think that, like, they were never, they were always kind of like Bettman's, like, you know, bet that he could, you know, expand hockey to the South. And he's just never found, like, if you had, like, a Bill Foley, like, as an owner for that Arizona team, then I think we'd see a lot more success. I think they never found the right owner that was willing to take on this project and consider it as a long-term project. Like, we see owners come in and out, in and out. Eventually, there's this point where there was zero owner. And, like, without that, I think that's caused, like, there hasn't been that consistency in everything. So then that's kind of been their downfall, and that's why as an organization they've just been crap.
But should an NHL team's success be contingent on a sugar daddy or sugar mommy, or, you know what I mean, a wealthy benefactor? Like, this, it shouldn't rely on, like, for example, in soccer, it shouldn't rely on oil money or whatever, right? Like, hockey does not need that.
Well, no one said it had to be all about money. I think a lot of, like, with ownership of a sports franchise, some owners realize that it's a loss of money, but it's that prestige of owning a franchise. And I think we talked about, like, a lot of episodes ago that, you know, there's only so many sports franchises, and to be considered an owner for one, there's that prestige level with it. So even if it's an owner that's not looking for it to make money, but just to be part of that prestige, I think, like, obviously money helps in terms of investing in the infrastructure for the team, for the city and everything. But I think that it's not just, you know, it's not that the owner's a sugar daddy or sugar mommy. It's just that they just need to be that committed individual that's willing to, you know, take on that long-term project, which I don't think anyone has viewed the Coyotes as a long-term project. It's kind of just like a buy and move on type of thing.
Okay, but you have to be super passionate with the Arizona Coyotes to really be willing to invest that. Because let's be honest here, given the choice, Anthony, you've been really quiet, so I'm just going to toss it over to you. Given the choice, would you rather, you know, invest in this losing money pit, right? This isn't a team that's winning. A losing money pit long-term option that has 5,000 seats? Or would you rather invest in an AHL team with an arena that might have 9,000, 10,000 seats, and your operating costs are a lot lower? Because I don't know, for me, I would rather, at this point, I'd rather invest in an AHL team.
I think you're right. Like, if you want to invest, you know, you want to throw your money down. It's like, you want to say the Marlies or whatever, just someone, some franchise that's, like, successful. Like you said, like, lower operation costs. Like, you don't have to pay NHL salaries, right? Like, you don't have to pay that. Like, your maintenance is going to be lower. Everything about that is just going to be easier than owning a NHL franchise that, well, plainly just kind of sucks. Like, it doesn't work out. Every year, I think, like, almost every few months, we have, like, some sort of news story that's negative towards the Coyotes. And, like you said, like, a couple months ago, the tax thing, and then a few months before that, it was John Chayka. It was just a whole, like, a domino of things, right? So, it's never had a, I don't know, in my perspective, I don't think it's ever had, like, shining moment of this is what we could be. It's always just been like, hey, let's just do something, but then it doesn't work out, and then it's just, let's do something again, but it still doesn't work out. So yes, I would definitely go with the AHL franchise that would, you know, win and have more fans potentially than the next year's Arizona Coyotes.
I feel like the I mean, this 5,000 seat arena, it's a temporary move. And I feel like even if it lasts, it might not even last for like a full season, right? Like,
Sorry, let me jump in here. The new Tempe Arena is expected to be ready in 2026.
Yeah, but at the same time, we're not expecting them to be playing out of ASU for all four seasons or five seasons, right? Like, I feel like they're not going to be like, yeah, we're going to, you know, only I think maybe this is because, you know, they're running, you know, there's not a lot of time. So maybe like, okay, I guess like this is the quickest we can do, but we'll maybe next year reevaluate and see if we can find another option that might be better. Like, I don't see them being like, okay, this is, you know, this is what we're going to do for the next 4 or 5 years. And I don't think the NHL would be agreeable to a plan like that either. So I think in terms of like what is a better value in terms of the Arizona Coyotes versus the AHL team, I think I would agree with both your guys' perspective that, you know, you probably pick an AHL team because it seems more worthwhile. I mean, long run, you hope the Coyotes can be much, but maybe at the same time, it's time to move them. Maybe that's what the NHL needs to do. If it turns out the plan is to, you know, keep Arizona in a 5,000 seat facility for the next 4 years, I could see Batman be like, nope, let's move them to somewhere else for a couple of years, and then we'll bring them back if we feel like it.
So you mentioned earlier about this being like the pet project for Gary Bettman, right?
Yeah.
So how do I put this? Here's the part I don't understand. If you're going to invest in a money pit, why not invest it in the Chinese game? Remember when they went to China for 2 years because they were like, we're going to get, this is all for promotion for the 2022 Winter Olympics. It's going to be great. We're going to expand the game. And it's a money pit, but it's an investment. You know what I mean? It would have paid off for now. But the NHL didn't see this as a pet project, I guess. Because after 2 seasons, they were like, we're out. 4 games, we're out. We're not interested in this anymore. Of all the pet projects, why Arizona? I don't see it. I would have put my pet project on the China games. You build it up. Who cares if it's, you know, the first year is just a bunch of expats. Second year, and, you know, the first year, the big thing was like, oh, they had to explain the rules on the PA system. Who cares? It's an investment that would pay it off for 2022. It's been 10, 15 years with the Coyotes. I don't see why that's the pet project. Jeffrey, since you said this was the pet project, can you explain to me why this is the pet project?
Well, did the Coyotes produce someone called Austin Matthews?
My goodness, what a price for Austin Matthews.
I mean, I think, like, as much as you want to grow the game internationally, I still feel like internally, or like behind closed doors, right? You obviously want to focus on the Canadian and American markets because that's where your main market is in general, right? As the NHL, right? Like, if you're talking like IHF and like IOC and stuff, obviously they're looking more internationally. But like, if you're the NHL, you're like, okay, how can I, you know, develop like, you know, the product in Canada and the US and, you know, create the next line of, you know, all-stars. So, I mean, for Bettman, I think his tenure as commissioner has kind of like wrapped around the whole, you know, the Coyotes moving from Winnipeg, so the Jets moving to Winnipeg, Phoenix, and then renamed as Arizona. And I think that's just kind of been like the main thing that's kind of lasted his entire tenure. And he kind of wants to give it a success story. And I think maybe it's just time to let it go and maybe move it somewhere else. Like, we've been talking about Houston. Like, that seems to be like the next place that makes sense. And really, in terms of expansion, it doesn't make sense to do 33 teams. So really, like, it just seems like it would be a perfect fit to, you know, relocate now.
Relocate now, but is relocation ever going to happen? I doubt it. I don't know. This is my bonehead question of the week, the bonehead move of the week. I've got another bonehead move of the week for you guys, but let's start the show proper and let me cool down, shall we?
You're listening to the Bag of Pucks podcast, part of the National Podcast Network.
And we are back. Okay, so guys, which one is the bigger bonehead of the week? The Coyotes to Arizona State or Aaron Dell? I don't even know what that hit was on Drake Batherson. Not only is it a boneheaded move because you got yourself, because it, you know, is dangerous and you got yourself suspended. I'm sorry, did you not see the depth chart behind you? Like, let's be honest here. Before Michael Hauser got COVID, he was the backup. Aaron Dell has to at least think, hey, you know what? if I get hurt or I do something stupid, get suspended, now it's Michael Hauser and an e-book. Like, luckily for them today, you know, Tokarski and Anderson are back. But it's awfully convenient. And I would probably hedge my bets they're not 100%. Like, there might be game shape, but not game ready. You know what I mean? You understand the difference, guys?
Yeah, like, one is basically you could put him as a backup and play maybe like a period if need be, but the other one you're expecting him to, well, play the whole game and keep you in it and, you know, get you a win. And you're right. If Arundel didn't, you know, blindside Batherson, I think he would be playing right now as opposed to either Tokarski or 41-year-old Craig Anderson.
I honestly, I'm looking at this hit, and yes, it was dangerous, but I think it was dangerous just kind of, it just happened to be in like the wrong area of the ice. Like, I still remember Carey Price when he crunched Chris Kreider against the backboards when, you know, I think Price was just clearing the puck around the net in his trapezoid. Kreider was trying to sneak through and Price just shut the door down on him. No penalty was called. The way I'm seeing this Arundel hit, like, yes, he leans into the hit, and because it's away from the boards, it's more dangerous. But at the same time, I could it's something that I could possibly see myself doing, type of thing. Like, it's a bad hit. It looks bad, but in my opinion, like, it wasn't like the serious, like, boneheaded move from Arundel. I think it's like a move that, you know, a goalie would make, you know, block off the skater, give your defenseman more time behind the back of your net.
Okay, but here's my thing. I don't know if it's a hot take. I don't think goalies should be allowed to hit. I think if goalies hit, it doesn't have to be a hit like this. It could just be a regular body check. Nothing, like, no injuries. Immediate 2-minute roughing. I don't care. My point is, you can't. I'd say one of those unspoken rules is you don't hit goalies, right? So why are goalies allowed to hit players?
And, like, the thing is with Arundel, it's not the first time he's done this. Like, this season, he hit in the game against the Preds. He did the same thing. He came out of his net and just smoked someone along the boards. Like, if he does that, then you can hit him. But he's also done this with the Sharks back then. That's way down the line. But it's not the first time that Arundel has done this. And I think this time it was like more known because it was Jake Batherson. He was on the All-Star roster. But at the same time, it's like, if he's out, if a goalie is out of his crease, I think you can nail him. You're right.
Just for the record, he hit Ely Tolvanen, but yes.
Is Arundel just holding down the right stick at the wrong time?
I mean, okay. I think either goalies are allowed to do stuff like this, and then they get to get hit as well. Or you kind of embrace the fact that, hey, no, you can't get hit, so you can't hit. Like, it's a double standard for a player like Arundel to be able to hit players and then not, you know, be willing to take it as well. You know what I mean?
You can't have it both ways where, like, you don't, like, if you want to hit someone, then you kind of expect to get hit back, kind of thing. You can't just blindside someone, get away with it.
Like, I can still live with the fact that, hey, you can't hit, but you can, you know, push players a little way when they're blocking you. I can live with that. But when you come flying out of your crease like that, I'm sorry, you are hitting, and that makes you eligible to be hit. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, like, the way I see it, Arundel, like, it wasn't time to be a hit. I think it was more, right, you put your body in there, it forces the skater to make that decision. Do they hit the goalie, or do they slow down and skate around the goalie to get to the puck? And I think it was just mistimed where Aaron Dell ended up hitting Drake Batherson instead of, you know, it was kind of just like they're just caught between two minds there. And like, I'm not trying to protect Aaron Dell and saying that he shouldn't be suspended because it was a dangerous hit, but I can see the discussion where, like, you know, we've seen goalies, right? When your defenseman's behind the net, you see the goalie move forward, you know, try to do some stick lifts. And obviously, as the player, you're more than welcome to interact back with the goalie. It's just that because of that, you know, unwritten rule that we can't hit goalies, that, you know, that's why people are afraid to hit a goalie. So, like, I'm all for, like, yeah, if the goalie decides to put himself out there to set up as a roadblock, if you're the player, you're more than welcome to hit him and, you know, you start your own brawl. And as a ref, I don't think you can call that as a penalty because the goalie put themselves in the way and they put themselves in the play. So then that's automatically, you know, that shouldn't be a problem. So I think that as long as refs don't call it a penalty when a goalie gets hit outside of their crease, I think, and like they're being involved in the play, I think it's fine.
Jeffrey hit it nail on the head. It's just like, if you come out and play the puck, I think it's whatever. But if you're going to actively, you know, get in the way of someone or try and be like a pile on, block someone, then yeah, like if he pulls you over, you're putting yourself in the play. It's not like, whereas like if you're in the crease or somewhere, it's just, that's kind of your area. Like, someone comes in, you have the right to sucker punch them once or twice, whatever. But what Aaron Dell did, I think it was just him. He was losing, like, I think, what, 3-0 at the time. So it was a bit of frustration, I want to say. But at the same time, you can't do that. You can't just blindside a guy just for going around the net to get the puck.
Yeah, I don't know. But, like, I'm not optimistic. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. It's hockey. Change is not necessarily a strong suit. Is that something I'm allowed to say?
See, would it be different though if it was not Aaron Dell and say like Marc-Andre Fleury who did this? Because it's a bigger name versus like Aaron Dell, who is kind of like a career backup.
I'll give you this. I think there may be a bit less flack if it was a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury and it wasn't an all-star. At the end of the day, Marc-Andre Fleury is a good one just because he's so universally loved, you know what I mean? So that helps. But at the same time, I feel like, and you really shouldn't be picking, you shouldn't be picking or choosing, but I know I would.
I mean, if you look at the Price hit on Kreider, like there was that history of Kreider running into Price, right? Like if you saw that hit, you would have, like, I don't know if you guys have seen that hit on YouTube, but it's a clear interference call. But they understood, you know, there was that, you know, history, and you know, both guys were well-known players. And I think I don't know if it was because it was an all-star that they got three games. Like, three games seems a lot to me. I thought, like, it'll be just like a one game, but maybe because it was an injury, it was more. But, you know, I think it's just part of the play now these days, right? Like when you think about on a power play, right? When the like as a team on the power play, right? One of your guys is often setting up almost as a pick to prevent the 1-4 checker, you know, coming back checking with the puck here, you're trying to enter the zone. So to me, like, I think, like, if you're going to set a pick, you can just run them over. Like, it's not like the NBA where if you set a pick and, you know, they're in this position, you run them over, it's going to be a defensive foul. Like, I think, you know, if you decide to put yourself as a pick on the ice there, you're being allowed to be hit. That's all.
I think part of it was Dell makes the contact in a very dangerous angle. And if you look at it, it's very close to pushing from the head. And you can argue, yeah, Batherson kind of leads with his head first. But it looks very close to a forearm to the head. And that's part of it. And that I think is where a lot of the suspension comes from. But I don't think it comes, like, the suspension isn't the thing for me. It's, you can't be as a goalie, oh my God, he ran into me, and freak out, then also ask, hey, oh, he's coming, I'm just going to completely bowl him over. Like, you, as a goalie, so it's not by goalie, as goalies as a whole, they need to figure out which one they'd rather have. It's not that each individual goalie has to choose, but I think as goalies, as the brotherhood, they have to choose what they want.
Yeah, and I think dangerous angle, dangerous spot on the ice. Like, if this was, you know, 2 feet closer to the boards, Batherson wouldn't sustain an ankle injury, I'd say, right? I mean, he might get some bumps and bruises, but I think him being so far out and sliding into the boards like that, I think that definitely contributed to, you know, the dangerous or the violence of the hit, I think. So, I mean, let's hope Batherson has a speedy recovery. I honestly don't expect him to be at the All-Star game, unfortunately. We'll see who joins from the Sens. But I think it does bring up a good question for, like you said, like for goalies. Like, what are you guys, are they willing to be, you know, part of the play and, you know, be allowed to be hit if they decide to, you know, leave the crease and interact? Or are they just going to, you know, stop, you know, being roadblocks?
Batherson's out for 2 months. And Tkachuk is the Senators' all-star representative. Jeffrey, does that change anything for you?
No, doesn't change anything for me. We knew, like, yeah, it looked like a bad injury. It is what it is. Sorry, Batherson. I think he deserved to be an all-star, and hopefully he'll be able to attend an all-star game one day when they stop just letting just one person from each team going.
I know, right? Like, what a travesty not having Kempe, Quick, Kopitar, Doughty, all all-stars, because they're all deserving all-stars. But speaking of deserving, guys, so Lundqvist had his jersey retired. Zubov had his jersey retired this week. I'm curious, given a choice, would you rather have your jersey retired or a statue?
I'll be honest, if it depends, but like, I think the jersey is more traditional. Like, you see a lot more, like, well, I think they just retired Lundqvist's jersey.
And Zubov.
Right, for the Stars, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So those, like, you can't wear those anymore. They're up on the rafters for the remainder of this franchise, however long this lasts. It's like, no one can ever wear this number. But a statue, I think, is more like out there. Like, if you're walking to the arena, that's kind of one of the first things you would see. It kind of depends. If you're given a choice, it depends on, like, the personality. It's like, do you want the giant statue that everyone's going to walk by and take maybe a couple of looks at? Or are you going to take the, you know, hang your number up there with the rest of the great ones of this franchise? And I think for me, I would just take the jersey. Just, it's more traditional. It's more formal, I think, I want to say. But yeah, I think that's my opinion on that.
I wonder too. Well, if you have a statue, I would almost like think you would also have your jersey retired. Like, if you're good enough to have a statue, then you're definitely good enough to have your jersey retired as well.
Okay, but so, this is like this is a hypothetical where it's either or. So this is a hypothetical. It's an either or in this situation. Which one would you rather have?
Okay. Well, I mean, I think a jersey retirement is very special. But when you think about it, right, people before you have worn it. Unless you like have such a unique number that no one else in the organization has ever worn it, then it kind of seems weird that, like, I don't know, do people find like you being very like narcissistic that only, oh, now no one else can wear my number because I'm so good? I feel like we're going to get to a stage one day where there's going to be no more numbers, and then they'll be like, okay, never mind, we're going to have to undo all these jersey retirements. So,
well, no, it would just be like what the Leafs do when they honor numbers. They don't retire jerseys, right?
No, but they retire jerseys now.
Okay, they'll just retire, they'll honor numbers. Let's go with that. That's their backup.
Yeah, so I feel like eventually you lose that prestige of, you know, having your jersey retired. I mean, it'll probably be when you're dead when that happens, but I feel like a statue is more permanent. I mean, they can always move statues, but I don't think they would ever like take down a stat. Well, I shouldn't say that. They have been taking down statues for other reasons, but like as like a hockey icon, I don't think your statue is as likely to be taken down and, you know, passed on compared to like a jersey that, you know, eventually one day they're gonna, you know, unretire your jersey.
Okay, just kind of being a prick here. So both of you would rather jersey retirements, right?
No, I said statue.
Statue, sorry. Yeah, Anthony, you prefer statue as well, right?
No, I'll take the jersey, to be honest with you.
All right, I'm being a prick with Jeffrey first. When you move arenas, your jersey doesn't necessarily move with you. Your statue doesn't move with you, right? You might go from one end to another end of town. Your statue may not move. I guess if you're like a Gretzky, yeah. But it may not move with you. As long as your franchise exists, it will remain retired. Will it not?
That's why you need to be part of a prestigious franchise like the Montreal Canadiens. Then you'll never have to worry about moving, unlike the Arizona Coyotes.
Okay, but at the same time, isn't it less prestigious? If, you know, like, as a statue, isn't it less prestigious if there's other statues? You know what I mean? Like, if you're the first statue of the Arizona Coyotes, that means something. Just like you're the first number retired from the Arizona Coyotes, it means something. We're not the ninth statue, or the ninth retirement. You're like, ah, whatever. You know what I mean?
But that wasn't the question. The question was if you wanted a jersey or a statue. And I think there are more jerseys retired than there are statues. So in theory, then that way a statue, because it's not as common as a jersey, would therefore be more prestigious than a jersey. The question wasn't about being the
first. It wasn't about prestige, though. It's which one you'd prefer.
Yeah, and my argument is I would prefer prestige, so then that's why I would prefer a statue.
Okay, but a retired number means that number is forever yours.
But then it was someone else's before yours.
But you were so good. They were like, no one could ever top a player, this player.
I don't know. I think that there is definitely, I see a day where they're going to run out of jersey numbers and then they're going to be like, okay, never mind, we're to unretire stuff. As a statue, you know, you're out there right by the arena. People, you know, are revering you as an individual. Like, to get your jersey retired, you know, that's, you have to be really good. I think to have a statue, you have to be really, really good. And if that means, you know, I don't know. That is what I prefer. Why don't you go, you know, take
one
a
last,
bite out
one,
of
one Anson. Last thing. One last thing. If your jersey's retired, birds can't shit on it.
But at the same time, it can get caught in the rafters, like the Leaf ceremony, where they couldn't even get the jersey numbers down properly. So, you know, I'm okay, and I'll get cleaned at least, you know, once every day. Make sure all the, you know, even if they do get shat on, I'll get a nice shower from the garden hose. And yeah, I'm okay with that. I'll take that.
All right, now to also be a prick to Anson, because we're lucky enough here where both you guys picked separately, right? Anson for a jersey retirement, right? I don't want to sound rude, but like, jersey retirements are kind of a dime a dozen, if you know what I mean. You can only have so many statues in front of the arena.
At the same time, I don't want a statue.
Why wouldn't you want a statue?
Because it's big and clunky and it takes time.
Okay, it's not like you have to carry it to the spot.
No, but I don't want it.
Why?
Because I personally just rather have a jersey up. And at the same time, that number associated with me for the rest of like this franchise, then it's cool. And by the time they unretire or honor or whatever bullshit they do, I'd be dead. Doesn't matter.
hey, Olsen, why don't can't you just let us choose what we prefer? And why are you trying to make us regret our decision? You know, we get to make our own choice. We have our own freedom. And, you know, we would like to make our own choices. So, you know, screw you. You don't get to make fun of our choices. You know, we didn't even ask you. We didn't even ask you about your choice. And we don't care because, you know, it's your decision. And we don't want to, you know, we don't need to, you know, let you try to rationalize why your pick is the greatest or why you choose. It's just what we prefer. We gave our reasons. So you don't need to tell us why our reasons are wrong. So why don't you shut up and go to, you know, dwell on your own reasons why you want either a jersey or statue or you want some other certain thing. I don't know what else you want. Maybe you want an NFT. I don't know what you want. But why don't you just shut up, let me and Nathan pick what we want.
Yeah, I broke Jeffrey, it sounds like. I broke Jeffrey. Well, the main reason why I'm doing it is just because I'm a prick. And for the record, I'd rather have a statue too. And I'd like to, you know, admire it without having to buy tickets. And, yeah, no, I agree with Jeffrey. So, I just kind of wanted to end this on a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Passionate debate. And I feel like I've got that. I'm very happy that I've gotten that passionate debate from Jeffrey, at least. That's all I've got for this week. Anything from you guys?
I would like to say that even though you also pick statue, that doesn't make us friends for, you know, having the same opinion there. So, you know what? In terms of my final thoughts for this week, I think everyone should continue staying safe, stay healthy. I don't know. I've just kind of stopped watching the news as much. I think it's just too depressing right now. So instead of watching the news, why don't we go outside? I know it's, if you live in Ontario, especially, it's either minus 30 or it's snowing. But, you know, sometimes it's good to enjoy that cold. Sometimes it's good to enjoy the snow. So sometimes just go out for a little walk, maybe do something in the snow with some friends and family. You know, obviously do it safely and within public health measures. And, yeah, enjoy winter while it lasts. Because who knows, with climate change, if it's real or if it isn't real, we could not be having much snow for much longer. So, you know, enjoy it while we can.
What a tangent. Jeffrey, all the listeners know, you love me. It's okay. You don't have to hide it. It's okay, buddy. Yeah, don't watch the news, I guess, if you're like Jeffrey, and listen to our podcast more. Whoop, whoop. And follow us on Twitter at @BOP_POD, because that's when you know when the episodes are coming out. And besides that, wash your damn hands, you know? We touch our faces way too much to not wash our hands more often. I think that's a good thing right there. Anson?
Did you shit down Jeffrey Sierra this morning? What happened, buddy?
He's had a rough day at work, it sounds like.
Yes, I did. I had a rough day at work, so I'm a little bit peeved right now.
I got nothing. I'm just watching the Oilers beat down on the Habs. I'm good. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bag of Pucks podcast, part of the National Podcast Network. You want to complain about us? You can tweet us at @BOP_POD on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.